Today's briefing distills 14,320 articles from 186 sources, deduplicated, stripped of loaded framing, and ranked by real-world significance, not engagement or who posted it first. Every item is graded on how close it sits to its actual source, and a permanent record keeps the whole system honest over time. Today's headline number is Brent crude pushing toward $100 a barrel, after Houthi strikes on Saudi energy sites wounded 73 people, and Iran says it fired a new missile at U.S. warships in the Gulf.
Washington's answer was sanctions on Iran's airlines, and there's a Qatar and China mediation effort supposedly underway to calm the Strait of Hormuz. Supposedly is the key word. That's a process, not a resolution, so I wouldn't price in de-escalation yet.
It's landing right as the U.S.-Canada trade war gets uglier. Canada's $20 billion in retaliatory tariffs took effect. And Trump is threatening to block Bombardier jets from the American market unless the company builds here.
Prime Minister Carney's line was that retaliation is unavoidable. Washington wants dependency, not partnership, in his words. Two fronts, oil and trade, both pushing the same direction. Risk-off and businesses on both sides bracing for higher costs.
Ukraine's the third front, and it's a whiplash story. Russia resumed ballistic missile strikes on Kyiv within hours of U.S. envoys leaving, even as Steve Witkoff was calling the talks substantive progress.
Substantive progress and missiles landing the same day, pick one. Zelensky says the Russians told him they're ready to negotiate. But the actions on the ground are the only source that matters here. And today the actions were missiles.
Meanwhile, Britain, France, and Canada banned imports from Israeli settlements. Israel closed its UK consulate and is threatening retaliation. And Israeli strikes on southern Lebanon killed 13 people, including two journalists, ending weeks of relative calm on that front.
That one matters going into October 27th, Netanyahu's racing to unify the right before that election, and polls have him losing. A wobbling coalition plus a reopened Lebanon front is not a stable combination.
And we shouldn't skip past Nepal, at least 1,300 people dead in flooding, a national day of mourning, Chinese aid arriving while rescuers are still finding survivors. That's the deadliest flood toll there in years.
Grim contrast for a day otherwise dominated by markets and missiles. Sudan's healthcare system is also reportedly near collapse as aid funding dries up, that one's well documented. Straight from MSF, not just a wire summary.
Okay, pivot, because today also had genuinely exciting science and tech news, starting with Mistral closing a 3 billion euro round at a 21 billion euro valuation. Samsung led, and it's Europe's largest tech raise ever.
That one I actually trust, it's coming straight from Mistral's own announcement, not a leak or a rumor. Sovereign openweight AI just got a real war chest. Worth watching whether it changes the European AI conversation or just funds a bigger Mistral.
Mistral wasn't alone. Stoke Space raised $1 billion. The exploration company brought in $450 million, and there's real money moving into nuclear and chips too. Qualcomm and Amazon signed a $4 billion custom AI chip deal. And TSMC and Samsung are committing to ASML's newest lithography tools.
That's the boring but important layer under all the flashy AI headlines: chips, launch vehicles, lithography. Nobody writes a punchy headline about extreme ultraviolet tool adoption. But it's the actual supply chain the rest of this depends on.
Then there's Anthropic's Claude producing a computer-checked proof of Fermat's last theorem, 13 million lines, done in 11 days. Nature's covering it as a real milestone for AI-assisted formal math.
Computer-checked is the important phrase. A proof assistant verified the logic line by line, so this isn't a vibes-based claim. My only caveat is we're reading Nature's write-up of the achievement. Not the underlying formalization ourselves, but the provenance here is solid.
Same day, DeepMind released the Alpha Genome Atlas, which maps the predicted effects of essentially all 9 billion possible mutations in the human genome. That's a staggering scope for a single release.
It's a predictive map, not a validated one. For every mutation, 9 billion predictions can't all be experimentally confirmed yet. Still, as a research tool to prioritize what to test next, that's genuinely useful. And again, it's Nature reporting a named lab's release, not a press release with no name attached.
Now the one that's messier, OpenAI's Navier-Stokes claim. They said they cracked a major fluid dynamics problem. But two mathematicians are alleging their unpublished drafts were fed into Codex without credit.
This is exactly the case where I want everyone to slow down. It's an allegation and a statement, not a settled finding, Wired's reporting it. And there's a formal statement from the mathematician's side. But OpenAI's side of that story isn't resolved yet. Call it a dispute, not a breakthrough, until that's sorted.
Fair, and it's a useful contrast to Mistral and the Fermat proof. Same week, same industry, wildly different levels of how much you should trust the headline.
Which is basically the whole AI beat in one day. Add The Intercept's FOIA dump showing the Pentagon wanted chatbots with minimal refusal rates from OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, and xAI. Plus the UN's rights chief warning AI could become an existential risk. A good day to remember these systems answer to contracts. Not just benchmarks.
Two smaller ones worth a mention. An investigation found LG smart TVs logging audio and scanning home Wi-Fi networks even on standby. And Meta reportedly ran hundreds of AI-generated child abuse ads, some using real children's images, which lawmakers are now investigating.
The LG story is a real investigation, not a rumor, so that one I'd take seriously if you own one. The Meta one is ugly enough that I hope the lawmakers follow through rather than just issuing a strongly worded letter.
On the science side away from AI, the OECD's PISA results came out. Teen reading and math scores are at their lowest this century across much of the developed world, with the US, Australia, and Germany posting some of their worst results ever.
That's OECD's own data, so it's about as solid a source as this beat gets. They're pointing to digital distraction, which is plausible but also the easy answer. I'd want to see what's controlled for before I fully buy the causal story.
Quick hits to close out the tape. Novartis shares dropped about 10% after a third drug trial failure this week, putting the whole cholesterol drug race in question, and Huawei's racketeering trial over its Iran dealings finally opened in Brooklyn.
That Huawei case has been years in the making, so finally is doing a lot of work in that sentence. And on a lighter note, NVIDIA quietly shipped CUDA Rust for native GPU kernel programming, unglamorous. But that's the kind of infrastructure release that actually moves the industry.
A few more that crossed the wire. UK borrowing costs hit their highest since 1998. Hedge fund billionaire Chris Rokos is leaving the country. And Japan's yen jumped to a six-month high as carry trades unwound. Different countries, same nervous money.
And closer to home for us, Australia's central bank deputy governor warned inflation is still too high and rates might need to rise again, right as a $3.4 billion property lender collapse exposed how stretched private credit already is. Add Germany's AfD winning a state election and rattling the chancellor, and it's a rough day for incumbents everywhere.
So where's the through line today? Three wars, oil, missiles, tariffs, all pushing markets the same skittish direction. While the AI industry delivered its best week of real science alongside its messiest week of credibility questions.
And the answer to both is the same. Follow the receipts. Watch whether the Qatar-China mediation actually produces a Hormuz de-escalation. Whether Bombardier gets its answer. And whether anyone independent verifies the Fermat proof and untangles the Navier-Stokes credit dispute.
We'll be back tomorrow to see which of those actually move. Until then, I'm Anna.
And I'm Miles. Appreciate you spending the 10 minutes with us. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Quick disclosure. This episode was voiced entirely by AI.